my dear friends in Christ. We know that this entire month of July is dedicated to the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we celebrated the Feast of the Precious Blood on the very first day of this month, July 1st, which was instituted by, the feast was instituted by Pope Pius IX in 1849. But as we reflect upon the Precious Blood for the sermon today, the early church fathers say that the church was born from the pure side of Christ, and that the sacraments were brought forth through his blood. And when we reflect upon blood, we know that blood is something that is very essential for our existence and for our life. And when we think about the shedding of blood for another person, we see this as the ultimate gift of life, sacrificing your own blood so that others may keep their blood. It is a supreme act of love. And when we meditate upon the sufferings, the passion, and the death of Christ, it is difficult not to see how our divine Lord spilled every last drop of his blood on account of us for our salvation. He gave his life for us. He gave his entire blood. He shed his blood for our salvation. And this should give us a glimpse into the depths of God's love. When we reflect upon God's love, we see how it is truly something that is much larger than we can possibly imagine. So when we think of blood, we think how it is necessary for natural life. And for spiritual life, for supernatural life, we see how essential the blood of Christ is. We would not be able to have supernatural life were it not for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we see the precious blood, or we reflect upon it, we see how it is truly the source of our redemption. And we should ask ourselves, why is it that Christ shed his blood? Well, we know that Adam and Eve, our first parents, committed an offense against Almighty God. Man committed sin against an infinite being, an infinite offense. And so an infinite satisfaction needed to be made. And this was impossible for man to do, because man is a finite being. And this is the beauty of the mystery of the Incarnation, how the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, how our divine Lord united his divine nature to a human nature, and this is what we call the hypostatic union, this union between the divine nature and the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at the Old Testament, we see how the shedding of the precious blood was prefigured in several instances. We think of Cain and Abel. Now, Cain and Abel were two brothers who offered sacrifice to the Lord. And we know that Abel's sacrifice was pleasing to Almighty God, whereas Cain's sacrifice was not. So this gave rise in the heart of Cain to the sin of hatred, and it led him to commit fratricide, which was the murdering or the killing of his brother. And we read in Scripture how the earth soaked up Abel's blood, and we read in Scripture how it cried out to heaven for vengeance. And this was a prefigurement of the scene that would take place on Calvary, where Christ's blood would cry out to heaven, not for vengeance, but would cry out to heaven for our redemption. Later on in Scripture, we see Moses and the Israelites in their slavery in Egypt. And we see how, and we read how God commanded the people to kill a lamb and to sprinkle the blood of the lamb upon the doorsteps and the doorposts. And the houses that did this were spared from the angel of death. The angel of death was sent by Almighty God as a punishment to the Egyptians. And every firstborn of the Egyptians was killed as a punishment from Almighty God. But the blood of the lamb on the doorsteps and the doorposts was a type of the blood of Christ. It was a figure of the Redeemer's blood that was to save mankind. And it is interesting how the Israelites commemorated this every year in the Feast of the Passover, where the angel would pass over the homes that were marked with the blood of the lamb. And every year they also had a Day of Atonement, where the high priest would slaughter an animal, a lamb, a calf, a bull, and would sprinkle the blood. He would enter into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of these animals as an expiation for the sins of the people. And these are all prefigurements of the precious blood of Christ. Now we go to the actual life of our divine Lord, and we see that our Lord shed his blood on seven different occasions throughout his life. The very first time was when he shed the first drops of his blood was when he was circumcised. And we know that these few drops of blood would have been sufficient to have redeemed Almighty, to redeem mankind. But this was not sufficient for the love of Christ, for him to show us the depth of his love. And that is why he chose to die a cruel and a bloody death, to show us truly how much he loves us. We see, fast forward 30 years after this incident, on the night of the agony of Christ in the garden, and we see how our divine Lord sweat drops of blood. Now, the fathers and spiritual writers say that our divine Lord sweat these drops of blood because he was given to see in a very vivid manner the men who would turn their backs on him despite the many sacrifices, despite the ultimate sacrifice of his life and the shedding of his blood, how people would reject him and would turn their backs on him and would still be damned because of their rejection of God. So he was given to see this in a very vivid manner, and this is one of the reasons why he sweat those drops of blood. We see how during the scourging at the pillar, our divine Lord was cruelly scourged, and his precious blood was shed on the floor. Think of the crowning with thorns, as the crown of thorns was pressed cruelly into the head of our divine Lord, how drops of blood came down upon his sacred face. We think about our Lord on the steps of the Praetorium, after having been scourged and mocked and beaten and crowned with thorns. He was presented to the people, and Pilate presents him to the people saying, "Et Jehovah, behold the man," and our divine Lord's precious blood being dropped upon or spilled upon the steps upon which he went down to embrace his cross. And this is one of the beautiful reasons why, if you've ever been to Rome, they have the holy stairs there. They call the Scala Santa, the holy stairs. And you are not allowed to go up those stairs on your feet. You can only go up those stairs on your knees. And every so often, they have these openings where you can kiss the stairs out of reverence for the precious blood that was spilled upon those stairs. And it's only on your knees that you're allowed to go up the Scala Santa out of reverence for the precious blood that was shed there. We see how our divine Lord, as he was crucified, precious blood streaming down the beams of the cross. And then lastly, as our divine Lord made the ultimate sacrifice, a Roman soldier opens the sacred side of our divine Lord. And we read in scripture how water and blood came forth out of his side and out of his sacred heart. Very beautifully, that last time that our divine Lord shed his precious blood, a miracle, a very great miracle happened. Not only did our redemption was take place and was fulfilled, but also that Roman centurion was cured of a disease that he had been suffering from. He had been suffering from eye problems. And this Roman centurion, as the precious blood of Christ fell upon his face, he was cured instantly, and he was converted on the spot. And he is held up to us as a saint in the calendar of the church, Saint Longinus, the Roman centurion. It is said that he converted and went forth and spread the faith and was martyred for the faith. But a very wonderful miracle there, that last moment of the shedding of the precious blood of our divine Lord. So as we reflect upon this, and we see how our divine Lord did this to show us his love and the depths of his love, we see the symbols of it in Christian art. Think of the pelican. It is a very beautiful image that is very prevalent in churches in Europe, in stained glass windows, in mosaics, etc., in these beautiful churches in Europe. But it is said that a pelican, a mother pelican, if she sees that her young were languishing or dying, she would impale her own breast to feed her young from her blood, so as to revivify them even at the expense of her life. So this is the wonderful image or symbol of Christ, who gave of himself, of his precious blood, for our eternal salvation, so that we would have eternal life. So to put all of this together, for us to truly understand the meaning of the precious blood, we have to have some sort of grasp, some sort of comprehension as to the gravity of sin and the awfulness of offending God. And until we come to an understanding of what sin has done to our divine Lord, the gravity of sin and how awful the thing it truly is, we will understand what the shedding of the precious blood is and what it means, because of the fact that it is sin, it is the sins of mankind that required the blood of the Son of God to be able to forgive those sins. And our souls are worth the blood of God. Our souls are of infinite worth. And when we think about this, we see how very beautiful of a thing our souls truly are as they were redeemed. Not with gold or silver, as St. Peter says, but with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, reflecting upon this, we see how in the beautiful the hymn, the Glory Be to Jesus, the verse, there's a verse that is sung, Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. So reflecting upon this precious blood, we see how it is applied to us in all of the sacraments, especially the sacrament of confession. Our sins are forgiven or wiped away through the precious blood, and we are able to receive the precious blood of Christ in the holy sacrament of the Eucharist. We receive our Lord body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion. So reflecting upon these things, just as the pelican is an image of Christ, who gives of itself without limit, we remind ourselves to give to Almighty God without limit, without counting the cost. And like St. Longinus, let us pray to Almighty God that we may see things with the eyes of faith. So as we reflect upon these things, I just wanted to finish with a quote from the book of Hebrews. It is, but when Christ came as high priest, of the good things that have come to pass, that have come to be, passing through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not belonging to this creation, he entered once for all into the sanctuary, not with the blood of goats and cows, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of the heifer's ashes can sanctify those who are defiled, so that their flesh is cleansed, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works to worship the living and true God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.